It is at 7 o'clock. For everyone's understanding, we are recording tonight's meeting. We do have people here in chambers, but due to outside internet problems, we do not currently have an online session, and that still meets OPM rules. With that, would the clerk please call the roll?
Mayor Pro Tem Jonathan Rosen. Council Member Brendan Elwood.
Present.
Council Member Alan Gotthell.
Here.
Council Member Mark Jocelyn. Council Member Heather Cullen.
Here.
Council Member Ross Lambach.
Here.
Council Member Mary Miller.
Here.
All are present with the exception of Council Member Rosen and Jocelyn, Your Honor.
Councilmember Rosen tried to get in, and he has communicated with me. He is trying to get in, but since he's not, so.
Yes, thank you. Yes, and we do want to acknowledge that. He was planning to join remotely, and hopefully that will happen as we go along. But at this time, would the clerk please lead us in the vice?
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you for that. First item on tonight's agenda is the consent agenda. Can I get a motion?
Move.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Gotthell, second by Mr. Elwood. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. It is unanimous. Thank you very much for that. Citizens' comments. If you happen to be here with us this evening and have something that you would like to speak on that is not on tonight's agenda, please come forward and you'll start with your name and address for the record and have up to 3 minutes to speak. I'll rely on staff who are working on the online. If that happens, just call out and call my attention so we know it's. So if we have the taker.
I'm Beth Burrows. I'm a 312 Northeast 6th Street in Milton. And I just wanted to say thank you very much to the community at large and for the council and everybody who came to the North End Downtown Foundation's offering. So it's a great time. It's great seeing people again. So I wanted to thank everybody. Also, on behalf of the foundation, I wanted to acknowledge and thank the Snohomish Tribe. They gave us a very generous grant for a Welcome to North Bend mural that we're going to paint on one of the entry buildings. So I just wanted to say thank you for that. And if my last comment, if you'd like reading my time, I see it's also listed here. Do I wait until that time to talk about it?
If it's an item on the agenda, you can speak again when that comes up.
Thank you.
Thank you, Beth. Anyone else? Wow, we got a double hitter tonight.
I'm Kevin Burroughs, 312 6th Street, Brooklyn. I'm president of the Snohomish Valley Historical Society, representing the museum tonight. And I'd like to thank Mary Miller for her efforts in getting the potholes addressed in Gardner Mews Park. They did a fantastic job, and I expect to see the numbers increase in our visitors to the museum now. I'd also like to thank the Snohomish Tribe as well for a generous donation to the museum for our infrastructure and facilities. And it's especially important because it's going to help us maintain our collection in a secure way. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin. That's great. Two hitters on two very important local agencies, and it's great to hear the tribe's engagement and recognition of those. Thank you. Anyone else? Okay. Hearing none, we will move on to announcements, presentations, and appointments. No appointments tonight. No other special announcements. We do have a presentation. This is called CORE, C-O-R-E, Mobile Integrated Healthcare Services. And we do have representatives of the Eastside Fire and Rescue with us. Mr. Gotthell, would you like to introduce these folks to us?
I absolutely will, and a pleasure to have them with us tonight to talk about the CORE, Mobile Integrated Healthcare Services. This is a project that I think is phenomenal and one of the additional things that we've done over the last couple of years. Tonight with us we have Deputy Chief Formasano, who has been instrumental in developing this plan, working with the getting the grants, and working with our nonprofits. So I'm sure she'll add all kinds of things on how wonderful this plan is. Also with us tonight is the current Assistant Chief, future Fire Chief, who just recently got promoted, will be promoted as of November, once the current Fire Chief, who's out of town right now, so he's currently the Fire Chief and Assistant Fire Chief, and eventually will be the Fire Chief. We all want to make sure he feels, you know, special tonight. He's feeling a little down from the support of being the new Fire Chief, so, and, you know, a little bit of help from this Formasano. So, Jamie and Chief Lane, go for it.
I just want to start by saying thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. And as Councilmember Gotthelf mentioned, that I'm feeling a little underwhelming in my position. So today I'm here in support of Deputy Director Formasano, and I'm also the lighting specialist. So I'm going to get the lights, and you can all see the presentation.
Very important. See, we have a sense of humor there.
Thank you for inviting us here today. I do get a little nervous in front of people, so don't mind if I look at my notes while I'm speaking. So I'd like to first acknowledge that we're gathered on
Jamie, if I could interrupt you just a second. Again, with our technology, usually if your presentation would also show up here, so I just want council members to know, you're welcome to turn around. We're up. Never mind. Go ahead.
I can't unmute you.
It's
okay.
I'm
just a little off. It's all right. Okay. Can you hear me on this? Okay. That's
what
I can't unmute. So I'll lean in.
All right. Lean in and talk up.
It's working out well. I'm ready. Okay, I'll forget. So I'd like to acknowledge that we're gathered on the ancestral homelands of the Sioux Indian tribe. So over the next 10-ish minutes, I'll share the story of Core Connect, your mobile integrated local care service, and Core and MIH are interchangeable with this presentation. We'll talk about how the fire service has evolved into providing these types of services and the needs that we're seeing in the North Valley community. This community holds a very special place in my heart, as my parents have been here for 20 years, and I consider it a second home. So as your fire and EMS provider, we serve over 160,000 residents in both urban and suburban communities. Out of our 14,000 calls per service, about 70% of those are EMS related. So we can likely agree that over the years, our community needs have evolved. And in the fire service, we must evolve to meet those needs. That's special. So when we talk about evolution, the types of calls that firefighters are responding to have also evolved. Mental health crisis, drug addiction, homelessness, the inability to access resources, and people that are under-medicated. So mobile integrated health care and the multidisciplinary teams that respond to those types of calls is that next evolution in healthcare in the service that we're providing. So our ultimate mission is to connect, and that's a really important word for us. And one of my favorite authors, Brené Brown, she's amazing. She has my favorite definition of connection. It's the energy that exists between people when they feel seen, heard, and valued, and when they can drive sustenance and strength from the relationship. So humans are complex, as we know, and they have very complex needs. The Core team really meets people where they are at. They see and they hear their struggles, and they connect people to resources in hopes to improve their situation or their quality of life. So there's tons of benefits to those connections. The ability to follow up after a crisis, providing a more accurate needs assessment, assisting with diversions from the ER, which decreases the expense of transports. We see a reduction in high utilizers of the 911 system and low acuity callers. And so by reducing those types of calls and connecting people to resources at the right time for their right needs, it allows fire department resources to be in service for true emergencies. And we are all about partnerships. We work extremely closely with human service providers and the healthcare system to really bridge those gaps and to work in a coordinated way. So we are a referral-based model, and these are examples of referrals that firefighters make out in the field. So in the days before CORE, firefighters had two options for patient care. They could treat the individual and leave them where they are, or they could transport them to the ER. Patients receive the most expensive care when they're in the ER, and we know that it's not the best place for ongoing health or mental struggles. So now when 911 is called, firefighters provide patient care, and they can take it one step further by referring the patient to the CORE team. They refer the patient, they can refer family members or the caregivers to our team. It's done right in the field with one click of a button. We get that referral within minutes, and then the CORE team, which is a firefighter EMT and a care coordinator, follow up to provide additional resources as needed. And this is a voluntary program for those who want to be involved in that. For our clients, I should say. So our Rockstar team is the care coordinator and a firefighter EMT, and you can see they each bring specialized skill sets to the field. This is a true partnership. There is no one supervising the other. They are true equals. They have equal voice during client interactions. They share taking the lead when necessary. And it's really unique, this pairing of fire and mental health professionals. We straddle both worlds of a community medical technician, where we can provide fall mobility assistance, minor wound care, managing chronic illnesses like diabetes, and then the other world of crisis response, where we can provide de-escalation and trauma-informed care and case management services. So again, all about partnerships. Our biggest takeaway over the last 2 years is that we are truly better together. We cannot do it without the amazing human service providers. And there's many here that we partner with, Mountside Senior Center, Snoqualmie Valley Food Bank, the shelter, and anyone. So just a little bit about how we started and where we are now. We launched in November of 2020, and in the first year we showed significant progress. And to give you an idea of growth, like I said earlier, about 70% of all 911 calls are EMS-based. About 30% of those could be potential referrals to the CORE team. So within the first few months of program launching, crews were referring about 3.5% of EMS calls, and now they're at about 12 to 13% a year and a half later. That's significant for us. I attribute that to not only firefighters getting familiar with a new program, but seeing the significance of that referral and seeing that we're connecting clients to resources. Also, when they ride the CORE unit, they see it in real time. They see that impact immediately, and then they advocate to go back to their crews to make more referrals. So we are in the community about 3 to 4 days a week, and we're expanding that to 5 days a week. We immediately saw new opportunities for innovative community partnerships. We partnered with King County Public Health on the Naloxone Leave Behind pilot program just this year. And we just are really proud to say we finalized a partnership with Woodinville Police to provide them MIH services. So we're continuing to grow. So let's talk a little bit about North Bend Community. Last year, we received over 100 referrals for this community. We're working with about 45 clients in North Bend. Our youngest client is 13 years old, and our eldest is 98. So the top two reasons for referrals that we're seeing in North Bend are falls mobility and healthcare needs. And healthcare needs, when we talk about that, we're talking about individuals who need caregiving support, struggling with aging in place versus transitioning to an assisted living facility. And what's interesting about this, and I purposely pulled January through June of this year. So in the first year, January through December of last year, there were a clear top three reasons for referrals. So falls, healthcare needs, and clients who couldn't self-care or who had overwhelmed caregivers. And now, as you can see, just two quarters in, substance abuse and mental health are exactly equal with self-care. So it ebbs and flows, but we're tracking those data points. Aging trends are really interesting to dive into. This reflects the top reasons for referrals for the respective age range. We're seeing clients in North Bend that are long-term residents that are potentially house or property rich, but they don't have those excess funds to support their healthcare needs. There's transportation struggles that we're seeing for individuals who live right outside the downtown area, who struggle to get to their doctor's appointments or get to social service appointments. So they choose not to go to the doctor or to fill their prescriptions because it's too hard. And this obviously compounds with declining health. We also have seen a change in the youth that we're serving. Last year, we had one client under the age of 18, and to date, we have eight, and they're struggling with mental health. So suicidal ideation and substance use disorder, the youngest being 13 years old. And we are actively working with those clients. So I'll close with a story of one of our clients that lives in North Bend, so you can kind of get an idea of the services that we provide and connect people to. So this individual has been a client since the beginning of this year. She's called 911 21 times, typically for blood pressure checks, and has over 10 emergency room visits. She has a very complex situation, chronic health care condition, as well as mental health with anxiety, alcohol use, panic attacks. So we visit her on a very regular basis. We have diverted a handful of 911 calls and ER visits by showing up when we're in the community. Sometimes she calls us, or power of attorney calls us, and we are able to go visit her right then and there. We've connected her to the services that you see here, but she's a little bit hesitant to make a significant life change. I think those are some of our most complex cases, where we have individuals that have high decisional capacity, but whose decisions kind of contradict their healthcare plan. So it's, of course, human nature. When you see somebody struggling, you think you know what's best. But that is truly a value that we hold dear to us on our core team, that we meet people exactly where they are at, and we provide non-judgmental services and support. And so our goal is to continue providing services to her, meeting her exactly where she's at, building that trust, advocating on her behalf. And when she's ready to make a different decision, we will be right there with her. And kudos to our team, because just last week she was open to the possibility of transitioning to an assisted living facility, and she has passed a hard no until now. So I'll close with a question I get asked a lot, which is, what does success look like, and how do you know if this program is successful? I think measuring the level of success is really important. We can pull data, we can tell client stories, which I think combined are wonderful ways to define success. But I think there is something to be said about defining the level of significance that we have in people's lives. With the services that we get to provide to the community, how significant can we be in their lives? How important it is to convey that they don't have to go through these struggles alone. So I believe that these services are to be useful, to be responsible, to be compassionate, and to be equitable. and with the support of our elected officials and our community, who see the value in these services, I think we are seeing that significance. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions. So is that our line back?
Thanks, Chief. You've really got talent. Jamie, thank you very much for that. Council Ford, turn to you for questions and comments. I want to let you know I got to see this presentation a few weeks back at the All Washington Cities Conference, and it was a packed room, and it was very well received. There was an awful lot of buzz of what a great program this appeared to be. And my understanding is the interest you're getting around the state for those who want to sign up for this similar thing is pretty high. So again, Eastside Fire leading the way, and wanted to make sure that you're all aware of that and impressive stuff. And with that, I'll look to Mr. Lundbeck.
Thank you. This is the second time I've had the privilege of hearing your presentation, and first time in person, because we were all Zoom meeting back in the day. But I can tell you that as someone who worked in the local SVT system as a driver, that these services are sorely needed in our community. There are a lot of people that you probably see on a daily basis or walk by or see at the store. And these are individuals that can benefit greatly from this particular program. And my question to you and a couple of them, the new implementation of the 998 program, is that being used as a resource for referrals as well as the contact that they have with our local first responders?
We haven't rolled out 998 for us as a fire department quite yet. We're still wrapping our heads around how that can be, how we can partner with 998. It's essentially a crisis response line. So there's some digging to do and some exploration for the 998 system. Absolutely.
Super. Well, I think you guys are off to a great start. It's certainly a very much needed service in the community. And hopefully not only working with the firefighters, but with our local police department, and they're coming on board with a crisis intervention specialist who could probably also act as a partner in this. And I'm looking forward to great things to come, and thank you very much for your work.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Excuse me, I would just like to say thank you so much for coming today and enlightening me. I had not really known fully what this was about. I really appreciate the knowledge base that you come with and the expertise that you bring to a very needed community, number of communities that will really appreciate and be trusting of you and what you can do to help. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Mr. Reverend, or Ms. Cohen?
I don't have a question. I was just more along the lines of thank you, and thank you for presenting this to us. And whatever the city can do to help facilitate this, grow this program, drive more awareness, or whatever it is, I think all of us would be in line to say, let us do what we can do, because this is an amazing thing. I'm glad you guys are taking concentrated efforts to look at our citizens and to really think about our needs down to the citizen level, down to the anecdote that you shared at the end. That's a beautiful thing. Thank you for doing that.
Jamie, you presented very well, so I don't think you should be nervous. And thank you. This is a really great program. It's exciting, and it's like thinking if we're going to help people, the poor things get as bad as they can get, hopefully. And the more you're involved, the more you'll see things. My question for you is, are you using mental health care providers, or who are your care coordinators for our citizens?
We have two amazing care coordinators, Rebecca and Erica. Rebecca started with ISWA Food and Clothing Bank. She was a case manager there. She's a licensed social worker. She's amazing. And Erica comes with over 15 years of experience at the Department of Corrections. She's heavily experienced in trauma-informed care, and they both do an excellent job out in the field. Thank you. So those are your two representatives that are doing the work.
for just North Bend or all of the service area?
Okay.
Yeah. And next year we're going to hire one more. Right.
Mr. Goff, I'm not sure I should allow you to
see your role. First off, David, phenomenal. Your presentation skills have gotten better from the first time that as Lord Secretary you had to present. I remember how nervous you were. So from that point now, I think you've done a phenomenal job, so pat yourself on the back for that. And I just want to say there's a lot, I've heard a lot more stories than what Jamie had to tell about people being helped. And, you know, for somebody who had to deal with a falling issue and trying to get an understanding where he has his own capabilities and not wanting to be out of his house, it is a tough thing for people who are aging, even at 97 years old, not wanting to go to an assisted living. So what they do in meeting those people at where they are at is phenomenal, and I applaud what we're doing there and look forward to more opportunities and opportunities with this program. Great job. That's all I can say.
Thank you. Before you go, I have two questions, both to make sure that I understand this slide deck. I can picture them in my mind. In the slide that you shared regarding the types of services tracked, can that be duplicative, or are those all scored individually? In other words, can somebody be in both categories?
And just so I make sure I understand the question, is it for the reason for referral? Is that?
Yes.
Yeah, they can have many. We've actually, you bring up a really good question. About 80% of our clients have co-occurring struggles, so they fall into more than one category, and about 35% of those have three or more, so yes.
Thank you. And then on the following slide, with the circles on the age trends, is the higher percentage with the 70 plus or the
higher percentage with the elderly?
Okay.
Yep.
Thought I was interested.
Definitely.
Thank you very much. Anything further you'd like to add?
I just apologize for being so long-winded.
Thank you very much for sharing. Council, with that great presentation, we move on to the main agenda. Next item on our list tonight, number 8, AB 22-095. This is an ordinance forming the Meadowbrook Sewer ULIP. Mr. Rigos, do you have any brief comments regarding updates?
Yeah, just a few brief comments here. I don't know the details. Staff presentation, since this has been presented several times in the past couple of years, I'll just say a few words just as a reminder. The majority of property ownership in the ULIP supports the ULIP. The ULIP is consistent with the city zoning map, the city's comprehensive plan, and the city's sewer plan. The ULIP had 65% approval before the generous future cluster agreement was proposed, and with the agreement, it's probably much higher. The city staff recommend approval of the ULIP formation.
Thank you. And Council, before we move to a motion, we'll go to public comment. So at this time, if you would like to speak on agenda item number 8, please come forward to the podium. Name and address for the record. You have up to 3 minutes, and we would appreciate it.
Well, I won't be as smooth as Jamie was, but...
Please project, since we're having a problem with the mic.
Okay. Yeah. Beth Burrows, we went to Northeast 6th Street, and I wanted to speak out in favor of the Meadowbrook unit. My husband, Kevin, and I own a very small parcel over there, and our tenant is Snoqualmie Valley Transportation. And I think we've heard tonight from Councilmember Lamba and from Jamie, and he said very nicely that they play a very important role in our community. And about 4 or 5 years ago, they had grown out of their situation where they were at the senior center. They had dispatchers here at the senior center. They had dispatchers over there. They had their trucks, you know, their buses in several different spots. Well, now that they're on this small parcel of land, they have all their trucks. They have all their dispatchers, room for training. So it's a perfect, ideal spot for them. But I just worry about their future ability to add more drivers as the need grows in the valley. simply because of the limitation of the septic tank. I just don't know how many more people they can add onto it, and that's why I think it's important that they have sewer available so they can grow as a need grows. And so I'll take any questions or comments.
Thank you very much.
Hey, Council, Michael Thomas, 1231 First Grand Estate. Also, I want to note on the record that there are telephonic and Zoom participants that are unable to hear and or participate. A question of validity of today's meeting, and put my objection on the record to this action as a result of participants not being able to meet. We're also under a state of emergency with COVID, so you may, people may not be attending because of COVID. Just want to get that on the record. I did send in some comments earlier today, and I will read them into the record. I'm principally opposed to the approval of the Meadowbrook ULIB, really on the cost benefit analysis being out of date. Even the mayor is quoted in the Sun Pauli Valley Record as stating, you know, inflation and other conditions may have significantly altered the cost of the project. Certainly, you know, interest rates, market conditions, perhaps the properties aren't worth as much now. Another thing, when I note the cost analysis by the firm, I notice there's an exclusion for water. No doubt the additional costs for water and infrastructure, whether GFCs or connection charges or any mains for any development, are going to impact the true cost of this project and therefore the value and benefit of it. On water, of course, also the city really has yet to realize any new mitigation sources. In fact, in the previous council meeting where the city's opinion opposed on creative options to lobby the state legislature doesn't increase any confidence. In fact, the Meadowbrook ULIB will increase water demand. The other problem that I see with this is sewer GSCs, the incremental cost of private property owners to for their portion of the sewer for their property, such as side sewer, any development, any sewer within a development, or all additional costs. And these don't appear to be reflected in the financial analysis. Really, is there really sufficient financial justification, you know, for the ULIB at this time? And I'm very concerned about that, let alone the concerns around impacts the water. So I ask the council to not approve the ULIB tonight and pull for further analysis on the cost benefit. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ward Venice, 225 City Avenue South, North Bend. I actually live on North Bend. As representative of the Tenant Family Real Estate, I'm here to ask for your support and a yes vote on the Meadowbrook ULAD. The Tenant Family is the owner of one of the larger parcels in the ULAD. Some history on the land. The property was originally acquired in 1883. Yes, 1883. The family is not a quick buck developer. The land was used as an orchard, dairy farm, cattle ranch, homestead for many years. In the early 1990s, after many public meetings and input from the city, from the citizens, the city zoned the property EP1, along with numerous other properties on the west end of the city. The Nintendo property was the first and only one so far that has been built into an employment park. When the city declared a water moratorium, the tenant property became unbuildable. After many years, the water moratorium was lifted, but without sewer service, numerous attempts to utilize the property will prove fruitless. Now the property owners in the Meadowbrook area have requested the city build a sewer line, and the major property owners are willing to pay for the work. The sewer has had a comprehensive plan in place for many years, and that plan includes sewer in the Meadowbrook area. The city has an additional need for customers for the sewer line to pay for the improvements you're currently building. In the late 1980s, I served on the city council. During some training for new council members, the following was emphasized. A properly functioning city needs both homes and employment. Employment for the people who live in the homes. We were told that to get businesses to come to the city, there would need to be rooftops. Rooftops on the houses that provided workers for the businesses. Currently, North Bend has many rooftops. Now, the next growth phase is to bring in businesses and jobs. The first step in doing that is to provide sewer at the Meadowbrook area.
please approve AB 22-095 and start the process. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Don Moody, and I'm here tonight representing Puget Western because there are vacations, there's work over in Eastern Washington, and I'm the guy that gets to come in. But there's one thing that I would like to say to all of you, those who are here and those who are not here, thank you, thank you, thank you for going through this process and making it a positive process that we can all be proud of in this country. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Gerald Lesson, 1135 14th Street. I oppose it. Reason being, majority of this project we were building, there is no water. There's no water down 8th Street, no water down 202, the old highway, no water. 14th Street, where we're on, no water. You say that the sewer will help us out. How is that going to be possible? We're paying roughly 20% of the value of our property to this project so we can basically bring sewer into the smart park. That's bottom line. Fact. Now, we don't have $200,000 to build a sewer. Can we build? No. There's no water. It takes water, it takes sewer to develop it. We go to you guys, can we get a permit to build something? Put a septic on it or a well? No. You're not allowed to use. How is this going to be beneficial to all these homeowners? People that have been there forever. Back in 1980, 1990, when you put the sewer in all those warehouses, city came to us. They said, roughly $12,000 per home, we will bring water down. We have a bunch of blue collar homes down there. People couldn't afford it out. We said, no, we got great water. What did the city council say to us? They say, fine, we won't build it now. You know, they took care of us. What are you guys doing? You're forcing it on us. Basically, because you need the money because the expense of all permits, putting the pump out to the forced well to move that stuff from that far end, the expense of it is so high that you have to exploit all of us to get the money to put this thing together. And it is a farce. It is a criminal. You should all be ashamed of yourself and go for it. That's all I have to say about that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Monetize their homes, which is what we're doing to our properties. We're trying to monetize them.
So it is a gift, I think, that we've been able to give to them. I think it's a gift that we've been able to give to the city, and I think it's something that now it's time to move this process forward, as really there are no issues with doing this. As Mr. Jocelyn, and I'm sorry that he's not here, this is exactly what cities are supposed to do. They're supposed to bring these types of utilities to their city, to their people, so that they can build upon their projects. So thank you very much. I appreciate your support.
Thank you. Going once, going twice. Thank you. With that, we'll end public comment.
Mayor, we do have, due to audio difficulties, we did have someone write in their comments if you'd like us to read it through the Zoom.
A comment that we had not received electronically before.
Correct. They were, okay. They were hoping to speak, but since they couldn't get audio working, they typed it out.
That would be great. One of us, please read that into the main record.
My name is Tristan Rennie, and I live at 1234 Northwest 14th Street, North Bend. I apologize for not sending this prior to 5 p.m. I am out of town, and we hit some unexpected health difficulties this afternoon. I want to write to make a couple of statements. Thank you to the council for their advocacy for the private residents being included in the formation of this unit against their will. Thank you for the two-week extension provided at the last meeting. The council is the only leverage we citizens have in these negotiations. The council's power in these negotiations is evidenced by the degree to which the original offer from PWI was amended after the initial public review. The two-week period that afforded us to have an attorney review the contract was very important for our security and comfort to this agreement. My partner and I are resigned to our fate as part of this ULID, but unhappily so. We are worried about how this financial agreement might limit our ability to grow our living space in the next 5 to 10 years. Utilizing the sewer utility to enable that growth on our property seems infeasible to the time frame because of the cost to hook up to it. A sale of our house may find suitors off. A sale of the house may find suitors off-put by the burden the agreement would put on them and the unpredictability of the microeconomy. Conditions in our town naivete make selling to a developer an unreliable plan. We are unhappy with the end result, but extremely grateful that our voice was heard throughout the process. We appreciate that many people have made good faith efforts and that everyone involved is ultimately striving for a better North Bend. Thanks for your time.
Thank you for reading that. If the clerk was not copied, please make sure that's forwarded to her. Thank you very much. Okay. All right, now we will move on. Council, Mr. Loudenbach, once again, we will turn to you. This is your committee.
Thank you, Your Honor. Motion to approve AB 22-095, an ordinance authorizing the formation of the Meadowbrook Sewer UID in a form and content approved by the city's bond council as a final reading.
Second. Sorry, I missed it.
Second.
Thank you. So, motion and a second. Mr. Loudenbach, anything more to speak to this?
I just wanted to say that this has been a long process, very involved. We have, I think, everybody concerned about the well-being of the city, and that's always a good thing. And it's been an arduous process, but I believe it's finally coming to an end. And I would approve, I would recommend an approval of the formation of the ULID.
Thank you. Mr. Gallagher, if you would second.
Yeah, do you want to speak first before I speak? Since you, I've got a message from Jonathan that I wanted to read, and then.
Kind of have my clarification that I wanted to.
Okay, so don't you ask your point.
Mr. Sullivan. Thank you, sir. The testimony you brought up some interesting thing about not being online, so I'm just wondering, are we online, and we're totally good to continue this conversation?
Just want that put on the record.
Mr. Kenyon?
I can't answer whether we're online. I can't answer that this is a legal meeting.
Okay. As is. Okay. Put that to bed. Thank you.
For the record, are we online?
We have no audio online.
Thank you. Oh, thank you, Mr. Gottman.
All right. Well, I'm going to first read something from Mr. Rosen, who unfortunately could not be here tonight, and then I'll give my input on it. Unfortunately, tonight, due to some technical issues, I cannot log into the meeting tonight. So Mr. Gottman has agreed to read this into the record for me. Well, we finally got to the finish line. This has been difficult, but I hope ultimately a precedent-setting agreement. In the end, we have here tonight is commercial growth for It is commercial growth paying for commercial growth and a unique outside-of-the-box solution to growth. I would like to thank my fellow council members for all their patience throughout this process. We couldn't have gotten here without your help. In addition, I'd like to thank Puget Western and the Millers for being willing to think outside the box and come up with a precedent-setting proposal. But mostly, I want to thank our citizens for inviting both Brendan and himself into the homes and allowing them to discuss this issue. You have all been thoughtful, cordial, understanding, and most importantly, thoroughly involved. Thank you for that. With that being said, I hope we pass the ULID tonight and continue to move forward as a city. My own comments is I agree with wholeheartedly with everything Mr. Rosen has said. I agree with the process. It is important for us to take a look at the minority within our ULID area and the smaller people. And the businesses stepped up, and I do want to thank them for stepping up. And I do believe this is the best thing for our city and the best thing for our community. And truly do want to thank not only the residents for coming forward and expressing their concerns and us spending time listening to them and trying to find a solution to move forward, but also those commercial people that came forward to put this together. And I do support this ULID tonight and hope it passes.
Thank you. Ms. Coleman? Mr. Ellis?
Thank you.
Preface, so I wouldn't be running all over the place and wasting this time. First, I'd like to thank the citizens, the non-commercial property owners of North Bend who were directly impacted by this ULID. From the onset, they were of the mind that there was nothing that they could do. Much of this fear was fueled by the paucity of clear communication to them. In fact, I would go so far as to say as there was an avoidance to even engage with them to discuss options. They were at times told that there is nothing that they can do, that the city council had already approved this when in fact we had not, that it was a done deal when in fact it was not. Many of the impacted citizens suffered as a result of this, losing sleep, experiencing high anxiety and stress, uncertainty about their future in an incredibly uncertain time, all fearing that they would be forced from their homes to pay for access to sewer that they did not seek nor could afford. All in the name of a benefit that they would not be able to realize while they resided in their homes unless they subdivided their property, took on huge debt, or sold it. Some of these citizens are on fixed income. Some have retired into their forever homes. Some are second and third generation residents in those homes. Some are new homeowners looking to start a family. My point here is that many of these people are the very types of people we are trying to figure out ways to not price out of our community. This is the irony of the situation, or perhaps even hypocrisy. We strive to have a diverse, adequate range of housing inventory in North Bend to appeal to a diverse range of people, yet at the same time, here we are pushing through agreements that literally push those people we want out. It puzzles the will, to quote Shakespeare. And don't get me wrong, at the nascent stages of this, I was very supportive of the ULID. I believe the commercial property owners should have sewer. I applauded the tenacity of one of the key developers for her efforts to push this through. It was very impressive. But in my defense, there were also the different claims, states, and ideas being floated around about how this should work out for everyone. My position finally changed, however, once I saw the estimate of the assessments and heard words like, they need to pay their fair share from some of these developers, while we were expressing the hardship this ULID would have on them. Their fair share. That stuck in my mind. And after I met and spoke with these citizens, it was crystal clear that they needed a voice, as there was a tremendous disparity unfolding, and that this council needed to be that voice. And thankfully it was. While it was a long, stressful road to reach equity, we got there. As such, I too want to thank the developers for realizing that what was on the table was not fair nor reasonable, and taking action to rectify it. I want to thank the developers for listening. I want to thank them for reevaluating the terms and for presenting what I see as a fair and reasonable agreement to the frightened citizens. This is what good neighbors do. While not everyone is 100% happy, and this is among the citizens, developers, and the city, we reached an incredible compromise. I think it was Aesop's fable that teaches, try to please everyone and you please no one, or something to that effect. But here we have a fair and reasonable compromise. This compromise happened because we had citizens who were calm, cool, and collected, who were genuine in their expressions of concern and approached this frightening situation with respect, patience, and an open mind. After all, they were not trying to scuttle these businesses' needs for their sewer. This compromise happened because the developers behaved in a reciprocal manner. They listened with respect and an open mind. After all, they were not trying to cause fear or force these people from their homes. This compromise happened because the city administration listened and provided information as best they could to all of those involved. This compromise happened because the majority of this council also listened with respect and an open mind. And I thank each of you for your support. As a result, we are setting what I believe to be a new precedent for how developers, citizens, and this city leadership can work through very sticky situations and end up with a fair and reasonable solution for all involved. It was a lot of pain to get to this point, but sometimes compromise requires pain. But it also requires listening and being open to exploring all avenues to achieve a fair compromise. Being open to what is possible to deliver the best future for our entire community. That's what this precedent does. And I hope that the communication between all parties continues and is met with the same openness that got us to this moment. I thank you, and I hope that you do support tonight's motion.
Thank you. Ms. Miller, your last.
Thank you very much. I just want to say, and I'll be brief, this has been an extraordinary experience from the start. I wouldn't say it's been a slam dunk easily, but the level of learning and the respect and the understanding from both developers and residents, it's about the capacity of all of us staying steady, listening, educating ourselves, educating the community, all parts of it, and realizing going forward into the future, this, to have the best hopes for the future is to really make these hard decisions and do it in a way that you can sleep well at night. That's my hope for me, so I stand strongly behind my decision tonight. My heart is in the right place, and I know that it's not 100% a great decision for all. Sometimes the difficult decisions are the difficult decisions for a reason. So everybody beside me, I thank you for all your care in this situation and the people that have spoken up through the last year and a half and many years before. Thank you for your patience. Thank you.
Thank you. And with that, motion before you is to approve of AB 22-095, an ordinance authorizing the formation of Meadowbrook Sewer ULID in a form and content approved by the city's bond council as a final reading. We are going to do this vote by roll call. Mr. Gotthard?
Aye.
Ms. Colon?
Aye.
Mr. Elwood?
Aye.
Ms. Miller?
Aye.
Mr. Lund?
Aye.
Motion is unanimous and it carries. Thank you very much. Moving on in our agenda. Item number 9, AB 22-096. This is an ordinance amending the North Bend Municipal Code 10.12.010 regarding speed limits. Mr. Rivas.
Thank you, Mayor Rob. Good evening, Council. Page 159 of the packets. This particular agenda bill is about public safety. Olch Avenue and East North Bend Way now have more pedestrians than they used to. City staff feels that in the interest of public safety, a slight reduction in speed limits of those two arterials is warranted. This proposed change is also supported by our police chief and was also supported by our Public Health and Safety Committee.
Thank you. If you are a member of the public and wish to speak on this item, please come to the podium.
Sure, Dr. Thomas, 1231 Forest Drive, SD. I have a few remarks. I want to continue to restate my objection to this meeting.
Mr. Thomas, we're asking for comment on this agenda item. Remind you.
I would like to state my objection to this item and this meeting. There are telephonic and Zoom participants that are unable to attend. City Attorney was unable to confirm the legality of this meeting and concerned the lack of open public meeting. I would also request that the clerk preserve the chat box. Not only were virtual comments read in, but clearly there's chat going on in Zoom. With respect to this item, and certainly for the record, and given our talking about the record, I actually favor a reduction of speed limits throughout the city. I think in some areas they're certainly too high. So I do want to speak in support of this, resolution. However, I'm very concerned about the lack of open public input and conduct of open public meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no one else approaching the podium, so
we have no comments online for this item.
Thank you. Mr. Lautenbach, I assume this came through your committee?
Actually, Your Honor, it was Public Health and Safety, and Ms. Coleman will be happy to introduce this one.
Stand correct, Ms. Coleman.
Motion to approve AB 22-096, an ordinance amending NBMC section 10.12.010 regarding speed limits to Olch Avenue and East North Bend Way as a first and final reading.
Second. I have a second by Mr. Godfrey. Ms. Cole, would you like to speak to the motion?
Anytime we can reduce speeds to make people safer is ideal, and hopefully people will follow these speed limits and we won't have to have our police chief giving them citations.
Thank you. Scott, anything to add?
I do too support this amendment, and unfortunately I hope that our residents heed these speed limits. A little anecdote to tell you how it's not always followed. As I was walking the other day across North Bend Way in the area where we have the blinking lights with my dog. The blinking lights were going on. I went to the middle of the intersection and started to step out, and somebody went by at more than 35 miles an hour. So please follow the speed limits. There's a reason why they're there. Somebody could get hurt if we do not, and these speed limit reductions will hopefully reduce that if people pay attention. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Everly?
I'm full support of public health and safety. And if the decision is to lower the speed limits to achieve that effect, then I am full support of it.
Ms. Miller?
I have a quick clarification question, and with regard to Bulge, can I bring that up at this point?
Yeah.
Okay.
Staff?
Okay, staff, here we go. I'm with this thing. It's like I want to talk out loud. Okay, at Bulge, for shoulder parking, and I'm in favor of reducing the speed, of course, but I was wondering if we can add some sort of clarification with the verbiage. When you have the shoulder parking off the side, there's a small area where it's allowed now. When you say that it can be more provided at 30 or less, the shoulders towards Mountside Fitness, it goes off. It's very narrow there. I would really, really like to not see people banking at that area, just walking across the street. Is there any way we could consider putting signage of no parking is my question. Otherwise, I'm on board.
Yeah, if I follow where you're talking about, I think the parking shoulder might be on the narrower variety.
Yep.
It might be 7.5 feet wide or 8 feet wide, right, as opposed to 9 or 10 feet wide. Hence, one of the reasons why I supported the reduction of the speed limit from 35 to 30, just with people opening doors and so forth. And I think that corridor might feel a little bit narrower because the opposite side of Bulge Avenue has no shoulder, has no sidewalk, etc. And I think those lanes are only about 11 feet wide instead of 12 feet wide. So I can certainly take a look at the parking situation in more detail, but for now I recommend a speed limit reduction.
Okay, thank you, Mark.
And just to confirm, Ms. Miller, you were not offering an amendment, you were just asking.
Right.
Thank you. Mr. Lombard.
I frequent that area often, and thankfully, with the opening and operation of some of our new sports facilities, I think more people within the community and from outside the community are going to enjoy that facility. So I think the speed reduction is certainly justified for public safety, and I look forward to being able to cross safely whenever necessary. So I would recommend a due pass.
Thank you. With that, the motion before you is to approve AB 22-096, an ordinance amending North Bend Municipal Code, Section 10.12.010, regarding speed limits to Bulge Avenue and East North Bend Way, as a first and final reading. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. It is unanimous. Thank you for that. Moving on. Next item on tonight's agenda, item number 10, AB 22-097. This is a resolution regarding the allocation of future water connections. Mr. Rios.
Thank you, Mayor Rob. This is, talking about water tonight, page 167 in your packets. This resolution is being unfortunately caused by SLAL's full water moratorium that was adopted by SLAL in June 2022. This resolution simply prioritizes remaining water supply from outside city limits to inside city limits. There are several large commercial projects currently proposed along East North Bend Way that no longer have access to water. SLAL does not know when they will have access to more water. SLAL believes their water demand is very close to their water rights. SLAL has been unwilling to sign a water supply agreement with the city to purchase water from the city. This results in owners of vacant properties inside city limits not having access to water, which is not ideal. Consequently, city staff wants to step in and help those vacant property owners who have no access to water. The city can provide water to vacant properties inside city limits and others. This is simply about favoring property owners inside city limits compared to outside city limits. If approved tonight, this will be further pursued with State Department of Health for a water system area adjustment. That concludes my presentation.
Thank you. Council, before we move to public comment, just to check if there are any clarifying questions you have, purely clarifying questions. Seeing none. We'll move to public comment. If you would like to speak to this item, please step to the podium.
Sure, Michael Thomas, 1231. Just to reiterate my objection to the adoption of this resolution for lack of appropriate public input via telephone and or Zoom. I fear that this is not a public meeting. There remains a COVID emergency, and those certainly would like to participate remotely or unable to, including by telephone. To hear the comment, verbal comments and discussion. I do have the following comments, and I did send a comment in for the record in writing. This frankly has no credibility to provide more water. Certainly, the same thing has spoke on creative options by lobbying the state legislature, evidenced by its 719 action. I mean, 60,000 for a lobbyist. I mean, really, guys? Maybe thoughts and prayers would be better. But anyway, this is what I'm kind of used to seeing. I don't support adoption of this resolution. We haven't provided any new mitigation sources, and I've seen poor mitigation sources, and I've seen no public actions to realize the small money in the past, such as the health force. So I'm very concerned. It's really been over 13 years since Centennial Well has been commissioned, and no agreement with the law exists. I'm not convinced that it's going to be feasible or prudent to have one as a member of the law.
just don't see it working financially or otherwise. And I think there's environmental concerns with it that we all know about. Our citizens require real water and so our rivers, not paper water allocated by fiat. This is a fiat move. The city should continue to be responsive to the citizens of the environment by allowing its past layer identify its water needs in a timely manner from early 1990s and egregiously violating its water rates from 1992 all the way through 2009. Need I not remind you of that? And yet, to really provide incredible and real mitigation of water that protects our rivers and required to supply drinking water. I hope the council reject paper solutions such as this allocation. Yes, council reject the resolution. Thank you much for your time and consideration. Let's conclude with my comment.
Thank you. Anyone else? Seeing no one move to the podium.
We have no one online.
Thank you. How about this one, Mr. Schwanbeck?
I believe you have the correct committee this time.
Here. Thank you.
Motion to approve AB 22-097, a resolution regarding the allocation of future water connections and recommending the adoption of a related ordinance in a form and content approved by the city attorney.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second. I have a second. Thank you. Mr. Lautenberg.
I believe it's a common sense move to enact this resolution. We should be prioritizing those who are within our political boundaries and with essential services. And as the system evolves and the situation evolves, hopefully everyone will be able to benefit and will be able to actively renew the services in all those service areas.
Thank you. Ms. Miller?
Well, very eloquent. Thank you. I'll call Ross there. And I believe fully what he just said, too, on that. I think we have to still keep looking towards the future. That is the direction we have to consider at all times. This has been very challenging from the get-go, and I think it's the right thing to do at the moment. Thank you.
Thank you. Council, Mr. Gioffo, me, Ms. Cohen, Mr. Elwood. With that, the motion before you is to approve AB 22-097, a resolution regarding the allocation of future water connections and recommending the adoption of a related ordinance in a form and content approved by the city attorney. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. It is unanimous. Thank you very much. And that brings us to the end of the main agenda. We'll move on to Mayor, Council, and Administrator Concerns and Initiatives. Mr. Gotthelf, I'll look to you first.
Nothing for that tonight, Your Honor, except please do watch the speed limits and watch people walking across the streets. It's going to be nice over the next couple days. Hopefully the weather will not get too hot, so hopefully people will get out there and enjoy the weather.
Thank you. Ms. Cohen.
Thank everybody for staying safe during our heat wave last week. I do believe we didn't have any major health concerns during that, so everybody did a good job. The summer's still carrying on, so be careful in the rivers and the lakes, and enjoy the summer.
Thank you. Mr. Elwood.
Just be careful with the pets, kids, and heat, and all that good stuff that goes along with the normal weather. Enjoy it.
You, Ms. Miller.
I'm going to echo everybody before me, of course. Please be safe out there. Our rivers are freezing cold, our lake as well, but enjoy yourself immensely. Also, we've got events coming up. I think the Festival of Mount Sinai is going to be in a couple weeks. And also, I want to thank our friends in Snoqualmie. They're continuing on with Snoqualmie Days, Railroad Days. So there's a lot of events around. Farmers Market's going really well. Just be safe, stay cool, watch your pets and your children, and drive safely through town. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Longbeck.
Thank you, Your Honor. I just wanted to say thanks to everybody for your involvement in tonight's proceedings. It finally has come to a resolution, and we think it's going to be positive for the city overall. So I'm looking forward to moving forward. Also, I wanted to encourage everybody, in addition to being cautious, to get out and enjoy the weather, get out and enjoy the community, get out and enjoy the local businesses. Make sure that you take advantage of the best things that North Bend has to offer, and be safe. We'll talk to you next time.
you. Mr. Miller, anything for the administration?
I want to apologize for our wonderful air conditioning tonight. I've already sent a note to our billing officials, our connection with Donald Miller, and it will be repaired and you will not suffer this again. Thank you.
I find it quite pleasant.
It's working.
Although I note that we did have a turn in the weather here recently. Thankfully, this is one of our higher 90s days. It might be a little bit more uncomfortable in here. With that, just a few items to wrap us up here. The city does want to remind residents that businesses on 2nd Street and North Bend Way are open during the current construction projects. Please consider supporting these downtown businesses during construction, and thank you for your patience while we complete these valuable infrastructure improvements. We are concerned with construction schedule, and we are keeping everyone apprised of things as they develop as best as possible. Also want to encourage everyone to attend the festival at Mount Si, mentioned earlier. That is from the 12th to the 14th. The festival starts on Friday night at 5 p.m. and runs through Sunday at 4 p.m. Features a full schedule of fun and activities for the whole family, including the Grand Parade on North Bend Way on Saturday at 10:30 a.m. and a laser light show at Sideview Park at 10 p.m. Saturday night. New feature. And finally, please save the date, Saturday, September 10th, for the North Bend Downtown Foundation's SIP, SUDS, and SCI event, taking place at various businesses in downtown North Bend from 6 to 9 p.m. More information about the event will be available on the community calendar on the city website. And with that, we will be adjourning to executive session to discuss potential litigation pursuant to RCW 42.30.110(1)(i) and property acquisition pursuant to RCW 42.30.110(1)(b). We expect to be approximately 30 minutes. There will be no action following that, so we will be reporting as of now. Thank you very much for being here tonight. Thanks to all who attended.